I'm stealing my son's drink because I've almost lost my voice already. Praise the Lord. I said it last week, and I meant it. It's not just things that you say to cheer people up or hype people up. I love the filling station. I love getting together with my brothers and sisters who we serve together with in churches and ministries, and with all you guys that I haven't seen since last year. It's really awesome, and I really appreciate being invited to speak. And these kind of things are actually really difficult in one sense to preach and prepare for, because it's a one-shot. Everybody say one-shot. And it's always, that's what I call a single message. It's a one-shot. And so, and those of you that know me will know I'm going to probably walk about any second right now. I move about a bit, so I like to give your neck exercise and your eyes, keep your, just to make sure you're still alive. But it is awesome when we get together so that the Lord can command a blessing. What does that mean? That means that you don't have any say in it, but he's going to do it. It means you don't need to beg and greet, but he's going to do something because he is commanding the blessing. And I don't know about you. You might think you've come into a wee meeting tonight. I'm ready for a move of God tonight. So get yourself ready. We're going to give you an opportunity, like we did last week, to respond to God. Got a worship song or two later. And what I want to suggest is, for those of you that really want to receive something tonight, I suggest that you get out of your seats and come down here and worship in the aisles and worship wherever you want, all right? I want to give God and the opportunity to move on us. I'm glad you're really excited about that. That was a big build-up for me. Yes, okay. So, what a message, the presence of God. I confess to you that the most thrilling thing that I have ever experienced in my life is the presence of God. There is nothing like it. Doesn't matter how wonderful your wife is, or your husband, or your kids, that's wonderful. But the presence of God, there is no other experience in our life like the presence of God. And I want to try to stir you up tonight. I want to provoke you to think that maybe, just maybe, God might have something for me tonight. It's dead serious, isn't it? Excuse me a minute. I predict I'll have this half finished before I'm finished. I want to say this tonight, and I really felt like the Lord put this on my heart. When we're thinking of the presence of God, I want you to know that wherever you are right now in your life, and if you're watching on live stream, welcome. We trust that God touches you wherever you are, because he's good at doing that at home. I want you to know tonight, when we think of God's presence, and my message is touch. And so I want to think about the touch of God, and I want to think about how our senses respond to God, our touch, and actually how we can touch God. But before we get to that, I want to say this. In one sense, whether you have felt it or not, you have already been held in the hands of God. How do I know that? I know that because you're in this room tonight. Because without God holding you up and holding you together, you may not even be here today at all. Without God's support and holding power, you might not be alive today. Some of you might not be in church today, and some of you wouldn't be in this meeting today for sure unless God had held you. I want you to know before we get into all the rest of it that you are held in the hands of the Father. We can finish with that. It's enough for me to change my life. Without God's help, we're stuffed. It's a theological term, meaning you're stuffed. So that teaches me this. If you are here because God has held you together, then you already know something about his presence, whether you had tingles or not. And I like the tingles. We'll get to that. And the shift. So I'm kind of like, I'm doing it the wrong way around. I'm giving you the punchline and then we'll get to the stuff. Is that all right? The shift that we might need to make in our thinking. And this is maybe one of the most important things I'm going to say tonight. The shift that we need to make in our thinking is God is not holding back. That's a shift. God is not holding back. Yeah, but you know, ask God in A, B, and C. We need to make a shift if we want to experience the presence. If God is in this room tonight and he is not holding back, Debbie, what does that mean? What does that mean for this meeting? So I've got a question for you right now. Let's get into it. Let's get into the presence of God. Did you experience something tonight already as we worshiped the Lord? So, I like to talk to my church, right? And if they don't talk back to me, I tell them to repeat after me, all right? Because I'm insecure, you know, and I need somebody to talk to me. What did you feel tonight as you worshiped the Lord? Because here's the problem. Wasn't that a great meeting? Yes, that was a great meeting. And we can't quantify it other than that. Well, what did you experience tonight already? And now I'm coming off the platform. Because I want to ask you, who experienced something of the Lord tonight? What did you experience? Gail, what did you experience?
A tearing away of any rubbish and a sense of really being loved.
Wow. Just while we were worshipping. So a number of people put their hands up. Who felt God do something tonight?
Well, I was crying for a start, but I just felt I'd come home. I'd come home to his arms again tonight. The minute praise and worship started and we started to sing.
That's my mummy preaching there. I've come home. Spot on. Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit can teach us even without a sermon? Isn't it amazing how when we throw ourselves into the arms of God, that the Holy Spirit is already teaching us? What's he teaching us? You've come home. Whew. That's glorious. I'm feeling the tingles now. Who else felt something? Sensed something? Yes, bro.
Freedom.
I don't think I needed to come up. You've got a good voice. Say that again. Freedom. Once more, one more time. Freedom. Now, because I'm walking about with a mic, now everybody that put their hand up is not putting their hand up anymore. So, because I know you're all a bunch of fearties, just shout out something in a word or two of what you experienced. Go ahead. Somebody felt power. What?
Power.
peace. Awesome. Oh, I like it. The smile of God. Isn't that great? That might mean that by the time you leave here, you'll be smiling too. Anything else? Come on. Refreshment. Yeah. It wasn't a can of juice, was it? No. It was Holy Spirit refreshment. Anything else? Love. What else? Belonging. Very good word. Isn't this amazing? We already know the presence of God. Did you experience something? Yeah, what did you experience?
Fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit. Did you? Was it anything in particular?
I don't know.
Did you feel happy? So that means joy then. Isn't that cool? What age are you? Eight. Isn't that really cool? The Lord has just preached to us because we have encountered the presence of God. Yes, my dear. Yes. Tonight, yes. And all the pain has left your body. Let me say this, and I've said this in my own place. It should be normal for us to leave a worship service pain-free, worry-free, problem-free, burden-free, and all the other stuff free. As our brother said, freedom. For me, it would be really unusual for something not to happen in a worship service. And it's happening tonight. Why did I ask that question? Well, we want to encourage what God's doing already. And we say, Lord, let there be more healing and more freedom and more peace and more love and more coming home tonight and more throwing out the rubbish. Anybody want to throw out some rubbish? Just go like that. That's you throwing out the rubbish, right? So you have already experienced the presence of God tonight. The touch of God. You already know the touch of God. You know, we get so uptight. God, speak to me. Or, God, I need your presence. You've already felt it. It's not just emotional. It's not being emotional when you get healed from the pain in your body. It's spiritual. So God is moving. I want to read three or four scriptures to you about the touch of God. First one is 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. And so this is in Samuel's life, God's touch. And he's prophesying to Saul, who he's anointing him king of Israel. Didn't work out too well in the end, but that's irrelevant to what happens here. All right? This Samuel says to Saul, "The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." What a loaded phrase. You will be changed into a different person. You see, Samuel said, you're going to see a bunch of prophets coming down the mountains, and they were charismatic or Pentecostal because they had tambourines, or maybe Salvation Army. He told them they're going to have tambourines and flutes and all that, and they're going to come down, and they're probably a wee bit mental, you know, but they're coming down and they're really excited, and they will be prophesying. And when you come into their presence, that spirit that's on them will come on you and you will prophesy under the anointing. Being near to others in a place of worship causes the presence of God to spill over and the touch of God that's on your life to spill over to somebody else. Number two, Elijah's life, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46. The hand of the Lord, most translations will say the power of the Lord, but the word is hand. The hand of the Lord came on Elijah. Now this is a funny one. So this is a comedy moment, all right? So is that. And tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. What's he talking about? Ahab got on a chariot and he was literally horsing it down the motorway, right? And Elijah gets his robes. Maybe some of your girls do this in the summer, I don't know. Yeah, he picked up his skirts basically, tucked it in, and went. And he got there quicker than the chariot. What does that tell me about the touch of God? The touch of God, from time to time, will cause us to do things that we cannot achieve in our own human efforts whatsoever. The Spirit of God and the touch of God will cause us to do something supernatural, not something that we can naturally do ourselves. Thank God for that. Jesus' ministry, Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. Suddenly, a leper walked up to Jesus and threw himself down before him in worship and said, "Lord, you have the power to heal me if you really want to." That's a question for some people. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the leper and said, "Of course I want to heal you. Be healed." And instantly his leprosy disappeared. What does that teach us? Every time Jesus or God touches us in our life, it is an opportunity to learn something about his character, like we just did couple of minutes ago. Last verse on this bit. Matthew 8, verse 14 says this. Then Jesus went to Peter's home and found Peter's mother-in-law bedridden, severely ill with a fever. The moment Jesus touched her hand, she was healed. And immediately she got up and began to make dinner for them. Brilliant story. Brilliant story for all mother-in-laws. What does that teach me about the touch of God? When God touches us, we now are empowered to serve. Even if you needed a healing, you can now serve. Simple, isn't it? God's touch will take us from our own inability into his ability. He'll take us from natural living, natural humdrum, mundane life into a supernatural, refreshed experience of what it means to be a Christian. Not just working hard and toiling away. And there's a lot of hard work and toiling away in ministry. Everything's hard work, to be honest. I mean, the only reason you're in a house is because you worked hard at some point. Right? But that's not all that life has to offer. Praise God. Before I gave my life to Jesus, my mum had rediscovered her faith, I suppose is one way to say it, really found her faith again through doing a mission in Barrhead with some of the churches there. And then my brother, who was a drug addict, came home one night and he'd been a Baptist minister, actually. He used to have a church in George Street in Paisley. Kind of took Martin under his wing, and sometimes Martin wasn't interested, and other times he would go and hang out and go to house groups and things. And anyway, he came home one night and he'd get saved. And something really funny happens here. I need to tell you because, you know, it's just funny. So Martin had probably yellow hair at the time. He was a punk, and he was a rebel for his young life. And he was, when he got saved, it was in a house group somewhere in Paisley, and it was a charismatic Baptist house group, and people were getting thrilled and excited. When he gave his life to Jesus, everybody was celebrating and jumping about and playing guitars, and who knows, there was probably a couple of tambourines there as well. And Martin was so like, blown away with what he just experienced. He pulled out a packet of cigarettes, lit one up, and went, Jesus, you're awesome. Brilliant. And then Martin was so filled that he came home, burst in the door and said to my mum and dad, I've just given my life to Jesus, and if you don't too, you're going to hell. I wasn't there at the time. So obviously, over time, he learned a little bit about being a little bit more subtle, you know, in your approach. But there was a couple of things happened with Martin was always trying to get saved. And one time, he showed me a couple of videos of various preachers and stuff, and, you know, I was okay. But he showed me a video of the German evangelist who's now going to be with the Lord, Reinhard Bonnke, if you've heard of him. And he showed me one of his crusades. This is years ago. I would be about 16 years old, so about 4 years ago. And he showed me this video of a crusade, and there was, I don't know, tens or even hundreds of thousands of people to the horizon. I'd never seen anything like this in my life on a video. It was literally a videotape we were watching. And then Reinhard Bonnke, in his German style, got up to pray over all the people that had come forward, and he's going, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I could not believe my eyes. Tens of thousands or hundreds, I don't know, a massive crowd went, and Martin was like, what do you think of that? And I was like, that's amazing. Inside, I was like, what? I had seen the power of God and it shook me. And having a touch from God taught me something without anybody having to tell me it. I said to myself in here, I never told my brother, because I was resisting. In here, I said, if this is happening in the world right now, then Jesus must be coming back really soon. See, the Holy Spirit can speak to the unsaved just like he can speak to you. It shook me. And then, Martin being cleverer now, time goes by and I'm resisting Jesus who is taking over our family at this point. And so Martin knew I was into supernatural stuff. And he said, there's a guy coming in 6 months' time. I thought, 6 months' time, that's good. You know, it's far away. Who died on the operating table. And he was dead for 6 minutes. And then he came back again. And I was like, sounds pretty cool. I might go and hear that. And then he waited, of course, very clever. He waited to just about a day or two before, and he said, oh, by the way, that guy's coming. I was like, what guy? What are you talking about? That guy I told you he died. You want to come? It's, you know, in a night or two. And I was like, okay. And this little guy, about so high, very quietly spoken, American chap. He used to do the Full Gospel Businessman's Fellowship circuit for years and years. And he never preached. I did hear him try to teach, and he was rubbish. He wasn't a good teacher, but he told his testimony everywhere he went. And after he told his testimony about seeing Jesus and then coming back 6 minutes later, and he had already been wheeled into the mortuary area. And then the guy, when he sat up, the guy nearly fainted that was standing there. He then began to say, the presence of God is here. Jesus is here. And we all stood up. Oh, some of us were sitting down because I was still resisting. And he said, there it is. And somebody would fall over. And they had catchers. And then he'd say, and that lady with the black top, the presence of God's on you. There it is. Boom, 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 boom. And I was like, that's strange. And the thing that got me was the look on their faces. They were having an experience that I have never had up until that point. And I was like, whatever they are experiencing, I want that too. And then he did an altar call, and I still resisted, bizarrely. And then the Lord got a hold of me, and I went forward, and he prayed with me, and I grit into his shoulder. It's probably soaking. And then when I opened my eyes, I was lying on the floor after about 15 or so minutes of being bathed in a wave of peace washing over me, back and forward, back and forward. Back. I don't know how long I was down, but I was under the power for a long time and I didn't even know it. It was the touch of God. But that was a long time ago. Years go by, and then the 1990s arrive, and I'm serving Jesus, and I'm a good little Christian. I'm doing anything I can to help in church. I used to go to Living Word in Renfrew back in the day, and I learned to play drums. I used Fiona's drum kit she had in her hut and her mum and dad's back garden, and I would go and play a tape and play drums and learn to play drums, and I became part of the worship team, and then I helped in any way I could, and I worked really hard serving the Lord because I loved him with all my heart, as you do, right? You serve him if you love him, don't you? Unless you're just here for the cakes, I don't know. And but then I read this book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And you see, I had already been baptized in the Spirit. I'd already experienced the gift of tongues and had prayed for people and it had been wonderful. But that book helped me realize this is a lifestyle, not just a little blessing. It's too many Christians get touched by God and then they go, oh, thank you, God. Like, that's a little blessing. See you later. And then it's back to square one. This thing is a lifestyle, the touch of God in my life. We're thinking about spiritual senses, so let's get to it. What do we feel when we're in his presence? Well, we had a good illustration tonight. Peace. Here's some just off the top of my head. Peace, power, energy. You can feel energy flowing through you. You can feel electricity. You can feel tingling. You can feel pins and needles. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was seeking the Lord. I was reading a book about it, and I was seeking the Lord. And for 3 nights, I was seeking him, and nothing seemed to happen. And then on the third night, I felt like somebody was sitting on the edge of my bed, and suddenly hot pins and needles came all over me. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I said about 3 words, and then I thought I'd made it up. So I was going to fast the next day to seek the Lord, had a Mars bar in the morning and forgot I was supposed to be fasting. So instead of fasting, I just began to speak every day. And I was with my parents at that point, and if my mum and dad were at the house, I would walk around the house and I'd pray louder and louder and louder and learn to flow in the gift that the Lord had given us. Peace, power, electricity. You know, the emotion, this lad said, the fruit of the Spirit. The emotion of the Spirit is a common thing. The love, the joy, the peace, the kindness. It's all available every time. And in a few minutes, not long, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive it. The embrace, have you ever felt the embrace of God as you worshipped him or sought him? You know, one time I was so hungry for God, I was telling some friends earlier, I was so hungry for God that I sought out videos of anything that had the move of God on it. Healings or people being filled with the Spirit. before the days of the internet and you just search something on Google. It was murder trying to find anything. But I managed to find some videotapes of the guy that preached about when he died and saw Jesus. Found some of him. I got some of Colin Urquhart. I got some of Benny Hinn. I got some of Ray McCauley. I got lots of different things. I spent all my money on anything that tasted like the presence of God. Hungry. Are you hungry? Or do you just come on Sunday and get the buffet? The spiritual buffet and the physical buffet, maybe. Sometimes we can feel like a blanket has come over us when God is on us. Sometimes you feel the holiness of God. And one of those videos I got, we went to a meeting down in Birmingham one time, and I got a video of it. Spent whatever money I had to get that, and would play that video. That video was played over and over and handed out to other people. Unfortunately, nobody stole it. Half the time, somebody would keep your video and you'd never get it back, you know. But I would, and there was this live worship on the video. And one time, I was now a sales rep by this time, and my knee was agony where, and some people will be able to identify this, where it's so sore and so fixed, it's like that. And so when I was going to work with my pilot cases, selling books in Christian bookshops, I felt like I had to walk like that, with that kind of shape. And I was watching this worship, and I felt the presence of Jesus in the living room. Everybody else was asleep. Fiona was asleep. The kids were asleep. And I said, God, Jesus, you're in this room. And I got down in my sore knee. Everybody say sore knee. And I just worshipped like I meant it. Like we should every time. I don't wait for song three. I don't know about you. I'm in there. From the first song, whether I like it or not, I'm going for it. And I got down on my knees and I said, Jesus, you're so real in this room. If you're real for me, you can touch my knee. And I got up healed. In a living room. I've had so many encounters with God, watching videos, and now it's all free and on YouTube. It's mind-boggling to me. I paid a price, literally, for those videos. At other times, you can feel the holiness of God, and like you're like, something different in this room. And sometimes, if you become sensitive and keep seeking the touch of God and keep exercising your spiritual senses, you might even sense somebody else is in the room. And I don't mean Jesus. I mean holy presence of angels. Sometimes you can feel that if you become acquainted with his presence. At other times, and many times, I've felt things like fire and heat. Sometimes when I've prayed for people, they get hot and I don't. And then you can say, you're hot. Justifiably, you know. I told you, I'm sure last year, when I used to work at Maxie Richards Foundation and I managed the addiction center in Tinnabrook, we had two guys that had Hep C, and we had worship times in the common room area, the kind of sitting room area. And we would play guitars and sometimes watch videos, but play guitars and sing. And two of those guys were so hot in the presence of God, they get healed of their Hep C. Fire and heat and wind and breeze. Have you ever felt like something blowing over you? And then you go like that and you look and see if there's a window open. Well, maybe there is a window open, but sometimes it's the presence of God. I'm not talking about being weird and flaky and making stuff up. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being hungry for God. Are you ready to receive something? So I want to warn you, sometimes we tremble. Sometimes we shake. Sometimes we rattle and roll. occasionally people are so overwhelmed they can fall over. But we're not looking for that. We're just looking for his touch. Why don't you stand with me, worship team? Why don't you come on up? I want to leave you with this last thought. If you want to expand your spiritual sense of touch in your life, you need to learn to practice the presence of God. On your own, when you're out and about, as well as in church. That is going to make all of the difference. So, Father, we're here tonight because we love being here, we love getting together, and we love you. And we want to just worship you for a few more minutes. And God, as we worship you, we expect, like we already have, we expect to experience you all over again. Jesus, you're the best thing that's happened in my life. And I thank you so much that you didn't leave us alone. And Holy Spirit is in this place now. As he has been waiting for me to shut up, so that you can do, God, what only you can do. Now I want to invite you, as we worship, you can stay in your seats if you want, there's no pressure. But what I want to say is you might want to just move away, find a space, come down the front, and let God minister to you. Thanks, Craig.